Hey everybody, I'm here to spread the word about the benefit being held for three-time cancer fighter Sid Destructo Slimmer. Sunday, April 23rd from 4 to midnight at the Archive in Soulard. The extravaganza is hosted by the one and only Clownvis Presley, as some of St. Louis' best acts perform their many talents. Michelle Minx of the Michelle Minx Academy of Pole Dance, comedian Andrew Frank, fire breather Carson Kelly, and drag performers Mary Shino and Lexi San Diego, with sideshow performer Travis Detritus, as well as music by the Trip Daddies, the Well Hungarians, and an open mic at the end of the night. Also, the triumphant return of Sid and Lexi's band Candy Coated Evil. Door prizes, raffles, incredible silent and live auction items, and special guests along the way. $10 suggests the door to help Sid pay for her ever-growing minimally insured bills and all the support until she can ring that bell at Siteman. This will be an event you will not want to miss. Sunday, April 23rd, 4 to midnight, or until they kick us out at Archive Soulard. Check Facebook for further details.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out there at the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri. It's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar. Shares a wall with Cha Cha Chow, so you can come get some tacos, some cold drinks, and hang out and watch one of your favorite bands in the studio recording, or record your own stuff over there. So reach out to GaslightSTL.com, see how you can make that happen. They got a lot of really cool events coming up, including Carter Holsey on Sunday, March 26th. And every Wednesday night, they have a new series called Count It. It's more emo rock stuff from a DJ set from Tyler of Tear Out the Heart. So that'll be March 29th. And Thursday, March 30th, come over for Unplugged by Jack, including sets from Manus Brothers, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, and Chris Sloan. And then the big one, on April 8th, they're putting together a collective release party for all these bands that have been recording Gaslight over the last year. They're all putting out their new material. We got new albums from Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, Miss Molly Sims, Fourth City Rag, now just Fourth City, actually, and Cara Louise Band and Culprit Manifest. So all new material from all five bands. All five will be performing live April 8th at the Ready Room. So come over and check out that party. Again, all details on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to follow along and visit GaslightSTL.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Miss Molly Sims.
Hey, everybody.
I'm pretty excited because we haven't hung out for a while.
We did
one of these a while back.
Yep, right before the last full-length record.
Yeah, and now we got another brand-new record.
Yes, we do. So. Yeah, this one's going to be called False Success, and it's coming out on April 8th at the Ready Room.
Yeah, this is very cool because, like, you know, I've become friends with all these people, including everybody at Gaslight, who happens to sponsor my show, which is very exciting that they're a part of this. But they put together this release party, a big collective release party, five bands. And I think that's really something cool that they're
going to do. So most of us that are playing are all pretty close, and we're all pretty good friends. Right. Now, we're all curious to see what Culprit Manifest is like. So they're opening the show. I think there'll be a few surprises in store for the evening for all of us. But I've heard most of the folks' records. Cara Louise Band's record sounds phenomenal. I mean, they're all great, but you know, I'm especially partial to her. Bro Lee just got back from tour, as you know. We just ran into them in the parking lot at Gaslight.
And Fourth City will also be there.
Fourth City. They changed their name from Fourth City Rag to Fourth City. There's nothing rag about the new album. Right. That's what they say. So.
Yeah, I know they have many different sides of that band. So, but so I guess the new record's going to be pretty rocking.
Yeah.
And then we got we got the Culprit Manifest, Molly Sims Band, Cara Louise Band, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals, and Fourth City.
Yes, we do.
And
yeah.
So that's April 8th, the Ready Room, and all of these records all recorded at Gaslight.
I think this is kind of something that's unheard of, having that combined release. At least I've never heard of anyone doing it. Dropping five albums on the same day at the same venue, it's kind of an incredible thing.
For sure. Yeah, and I mean, yeah, it's huge. But I think it's kind of a real compliment to our city and our community, what we're building here. You know, like you're saying, these are all friends. You know, we're all part of this together. So
right, and we haven't mentioned yet, but you know, Zach Gibbons has engineered all these records. He played drums on Mine Again. He's been someone that I've been so used to working with, comfortable working with, and just really enjoyed him like producing different records that I've put out. For example, the last EP that we put out, which I haven't been on since that came out, but it's called Borrowed or Sold. Two of the tracks on there we kind of revised and we re-recorded them on this record. But the last two that I've done, we did those albums at Loud House with Zach. So it's someone who we're all good buddies with. We're comfortable working with him. Right. And just happy that he can help us put out such a great product.
Yeah, he's been crushing it. He's been a big part of here too. I've had him on the show as a guest, and he's also helped record a couple of podcasts for me.
And he just got off the road with Bro Lee as well, because he's now in the band.
Yeah.
I think he's playing guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little different to see him standing instead of sitting behind the kit. But he's an incredibly talented guy and very... various senses. So he's as a musician, as engineer, and all of it. So
we have a few things on this record that I've never done before, and one of them is working with a horn section. Of course, we always have my staple, you know, my boyfriend Zach Miner on saxophone. But this time, we have the whole horn section from the East Side Rhythm Band.
Oh wow!
So we do have, I think, three songs on there that do feature the three-part horn section. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's really special about the record that I'm really proud of is that we had Brian Henneman from the Bottle Rockets come on and play on two tracks. I'm friends with him and his wife, Janet, and I just hit him up and said, would you be interested in doing this? And he said, yeah. So really honored. It was just such a great gift that he could give me by coming onto the record and playing, because I'm a huge fan of what he does and his songwriting and his musicianship.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, I love when you get the opportunity to do that, dude, where you get to do a little more collaborating and have featured players on a record and stuff like that. So
I've never seen someone so professional come into the studio and just be able to knock out a track in, you know, a couple minutes.
Right.
There was one song I had asked him specifically to play on. That's the song I'm going to play today, Someone in South City, that's going to be on the record. And he came in, he had rehearsed it a little bit, and he just knocked it out. He played it three different ways, and he's like, well, I guess you got enough to work with. And each one of them was better than the next one, you know? And the one we ended up going with kind of has a Chuck Berry flair to it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, since he finished it up so quickly, and he used no pedals, he just played it straight through his amp, and it sounded so good, the tone was perfect. And I was like, well, since you're here, do you mind trying another one? You know, and he's never heard the song. Okay. And they just start playing through it. He's like, all right, I'm going to mess around while you play it. And he's rolling tape while it's going. And Brian's just nailing the solo every time. And so we ended up using what he played on Estella as well.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you want to talk about someone in South City? You want to?
Well, you mean, do you want to tell you the story about what it's about?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I guess, honestly, it's about me and just being somebody who's, you know, been in the scene for a long time, and you get to know everybody. And honestly, like, a big part of it is, especially when you're just starting out, you're going out drinking a lot and you're meeting all these people. And the hilarious thing about it is most people, when they hear the song, they think it's about them immediately. So I think it has that personal touch to it where you're like, shit, is this about me? My bass player, he would hate it if I was telling this story, but he actually approached me and was like, that song's not about me, is it? I think it touches a personal chord, because we've all been there. Like, if you're a musician and you've been playing long enough, then yeah, you've probably experienced that.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I'm definitely positive and have a good, you know, attitude about St. Louis, but this song just kind of shows that, like, darker side of all of it, you know?
Yeah.
This is a song called Someone in South City.
I might never see a roaring crowd there just for me. All my name and lights at a sold-out downtown show. But no matter where I go, you know I'm still a star back home. 'Cause I'm someone, yes, I'm someone in South City. I wonder what it means to be a star of stage and screen. To shine real bright, then burn out and fade away. You can quote me when I say that every drunkard has his day. Find your throne atop that bar stool yet. And when you're searching for a home, every circle that you roam will remind you why you never could forget. I am a heart you can watch me breaking. I am a face that you've come to know. As they glorify your name, confusing Facebook with your fame, they'll ask you how you got so big in old St. Louis. It'll hurt your soul to say how many nights you drank away, just to find out that you're someone in South City. And I wonder what it takes to fill the room and pack the place. When all the folks you know just play guitar, and someday you look inside and you want more than city pride, and you'll pack your things and head straight for the door. I am a heart you can watch me break in. I am a face that you've come to know.
There is a kind of a trend. I mean, obviously, a ton of music's coming out of South City, but it is cool to see like a lot of these songs kind of people writing about their home, you know, here in St. Louis and South City and stuff. There's a lot of really great songs coming about. So
yeah, for sure. The one that comes to mind for me is obviously Emily Wallace's Sleepy Rubies. Yeah.
Yeah, That's a big one.
She's a good friend of mine. She just sang at Jazz at the Bistro last night. I think she was their funky butt.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's... I went to the last one they did, and it was... It's really really cool what they're doing with funky butt, and then allow Emily to kind of get her moment in the spotlight there.
I believe I was at that one as well, and she got a chance to kind of sing and perform solo for a minute.
And that's got to be an incredible honor to be... To share that stage right there at Dead Jazz at the Bistro. For sure.
I think she's one of the most supremely talented and beautiful human beings that I've ever met.
I agree. I'm thrilled to become good friends with her now and I'm watching her success and everything. So
yeah.
If you don't know Emily Wallace, get out there and check out. And then the Sleepy Rubies. That's where South City's on that EP they put out. And I believe
they're working on a new one right now.
New tunes on the way.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out. So we got that song. Someone in South City will appear on this new EP. Or is it EP?
I guess it's considered a full length and LP because the way I always think about it, and I'm a record geek, but you know, LP is long playing album. So you couldn't fit 7 songs on a 45, could you? So obviously it's an LP, you know?
Yeah. And then you re-recorded Real Good Man.
Yes.
What was all the, I mean, What was the thought in going to that, where you felt like a...
Well, basically, you know, when we recorded the EP, it was sort of a rush to get it out for Record Store Day. Mm-hmm. You know, we spent maybe 2 days in the studio at the most. And then just, you know, Zach mixed and mastered it at Loud House, at his house, mm-hmm. you know, at this apartment. And it was just very bare bones, minimalist kind of recording. And we just put it out there. We made some improvements to the track. We added 3-part horns.
Right.
And we wanted to re-record it for that reason, just because we wanted to give it a more, you know, the polished sound that it deserved, the more time put into it that it deserved.
Yeah.
Because I believe that this is probably the best record that I've put out, and some of the best songs that we've ever written, or that I've ever written.
Sure. Yeah. No, it sounds great. And like I said, I really like the new arrangement on Real Good Man, haven't it? I feel like might be a little slower too, is it? Like, or is it pretty much the...
I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a little bit faster.
Oh, really?
It's hard to
okay.
say.
Yeah. I haven't listened to them side by side, but I did. But I did like what you guys did with it.
I was worried that it would take away the intimacy of the song by mm-hmm. having the 3-part horns on there, but I think it holds up.
Yeah.
You still have that soft saxophone doing its thing in there too. So
sure. Yeah. And then let's see. You said you wanted to play Estella, right? That's another.
Yeah.
Track from this record. Any stories around this song?
This song is the single, in my opinion, and I think that it's the one that Brandon Sloan from Dancing Shoes Productions, I think he's going to do a video for us for this particular one. And where it comes from, I had a really dear friend named Dina. She was a poet and a very good friend of mine. And when we would talk about like our early loves in our life, we would refer to them as Estella from the book Great Expectations, who was a female character, but who didn't know how to. And we both had men in our lives like that. And it was kind of a way to where when anyone was around us, they didn't know what we were talking about. If we're like, just like an Estella to whatever. So
yeah.
She recently passed away from cancer. And she loved that song. It was one of her favorite songs of all time, not just of mine, but she was a big fan of mine. And in the end was listening to that. That song was one of the things that she would respond to, you know, and... So re-recording it partly was for her and just a tribute to her. But the actual song and what it means, it's about those men in our lives that didn't know how to love.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's
tough stuff. But,
I feel her presence every day, though, and she was a very inspiring lady. And I'm actually working on a song for her right now.
Yeah. You mentioned Brandon, and he's... you guys, he shot another video for you also, right?
He's done two for me so far. Yeah. Yep. It's kind of amazing to know so many talented people and be so privileged to work with folks like that.
Yeah.
So that you can make such a high quality, amazing product that normally you would be, you know, paying thousands upon thousands of dollars for.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's, there's been a lot of, really cool collaborations, from video work and, to everything, you know, all of it. We photographers and stuff. I mean, we all got our kind of roles around the music business and stuff. And it's just really cool to see some of the collaborating.
I think that Brandon's work in particular has a cinematic flair to it.
Definitely.
So everything that he does, even if it's a short music video that's 3 minutes, it's got a cinematic flair to it that could rival a full length movie. You know?
Yeah, it was fun to see in the video where you're. The old car and you're cruising around.
That was a fun trip. We went down to, I can't even remember where he lives. My friend Jason Breith let us use his car. And he just has just lots of old cars laying around on his land. And he was like, well, you give me an hour, I can start anything up. Just pick what you want to drive, you know?
Yeah.
And this one was pulled out of a ditch somewhere. And he just can get cars running quickly. So,
yeah.
And there's, you know, there's like a hole in the floor and there's like dirt flying up at me as I'm driving it. And
yeah.
It was actually a terrifying experience because I've never driven a stick. So,
What's it like being, actress also, getting to do some of that?
I think that that's sort of like living out a childhood dream because I think, you know, as a kid, like I wanted to be an actress, a writer or a singer from preschool age, you know? So I think that it's something that I definitely enjoy and want to do more of, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned it in, someone in South City, right? You say, being on the screen.
Oh yeah. Star, stage and screen. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of getting a little taste of that in your own videos and.
Yeah.
But those are great, and those are on YouTube and everything.
Yeah, they can look them up. There's one for Can't You See, which we use stop motion for, and I thought that was really cool. That was Brandon's idea. But we had my records come out of the IKEA case and go all around the room, and I thought that was a neat scene in the video.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. And then
it was a bitch to put away.
Sure, yeah.
Especially when your records are alphabetized. I tell you the truth, it's been what, like 2 years now, and I still haven't. They're not all alphabetized. Right. Now there's just some sitting there, and you know, haven't been put back away correctly.
Yeah, yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah.
My wife went through. I have a lot of DVDs, and she went through and alphabetized them all. And like, I was like, I would have never done that. I don't have the patience to. Sit there and
once it's done, it's so nice, and you can find things so easily. And these days, I probably would play more records if I knew where the hell some of them were, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, this is a big party, April 8th, Gaslight Collective
Release. Yeah, Gaslight Collective Release. So basically, JB Anderson has, for people who don't know who might be listening, JB Anderson has this, it's a bar/studio, and it's a concept that's, you know, pretty unheard of until now. I actually remember shooting the shit with his brother, Dana Anderson, real drunk one night, like 3 a.m, and he's telling me the idea for it, you know? And I remember being like, whatever, that's not going to happen, you know? And then, you know, here it is. And actually, like, I haven't seen Dana in forever, like, even since it opened, but I'm a part of this thing. And his brother's putting out all these records of these amazing bands in St. Louis. And there's going to be the first wave, the second wave, the third wave. They're already gearing up for the second wave of musicians who are going to come in and record their albums. I think Manus Brothers is going to be on it.
Yeah.
Pano AM, I think. There's a handful of other talented folks that are about to come through there and do that. Basically, what makes this place so unique is they have, you know, pane of glass separating the artist from the crowd of people who are just there to hang out and drink and enjoy. And the way JB phrases it, he's like, you know, you could be in there doing bass overdubs for 3 hours, and these people, they want to see it. And that's what's interesting is, like, as a musician, you don't necessarily realize the artistic value in that. But I talk to folks, and they tell me that, yeah, it's true. We never get the window into that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever get to see that because we're not musicians, you know? So it is an experience.
Yeah.
So I would encourage everybody to go and check out Gaslight on Shaw for sure.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, obviously, it's probably not for, the case for everyone, but I was talking to Zach and his kind of his experience behind the glass. Like, he says, he was saying something like, sometimes having an audience, like, you know, you like you kind of, if you're going in there and you're doing a vocal take, and, you know, you maybe it's this way, but then, like, when you know there's an audience watching it, like, you're going to give it all you got kind of thing, and then maybe sometimes it kind of pushes you to...
At the same time, I will say that there are a handful of bands and people who I know who wouldn't want to record in a room where people are watching them, and what I would tell those people is turn around, don't face them, and dim the lights. And they're still going to enjoy the experience from the outside, but you on the inside won't notice it as much. Now, I think they have a curtain up that you can close as well if you need to, because that is a concern for some musicians. Like, you go in the studio, that's your place, that's your jam, that's like you need to get in the zone, and some people can't do that with people watching them, you know, because it changes how you act when there's people watching, you know. So for me, I definitely, like, while I was in there, there weren't always that many people in there while I was recording, but I always dim the lights and usually turn away from the crowd so that I can do my thing. Actually, like, when we recorded the EP at Loud House, I did my vocal takes in his closet. I mean, I just have a tendency to want my own space when I'm creating something. You know,
no, I totally get that. You guys knock it out, like, in a week, or do you got multiple time in there, or...
I think that probably in total, if I was wagering a guess, we maybe spent six different sessions in there of varying lengths. I mean, some of them were only 2-3 hours. Some, like, one or two of them was a pretty full day. We were supposed to go in the first day maybe 8 hours or something, and some scheduling conflicts arose, and we came in for maybe 5 or 6 hours. I think we tracked everything the first day. That's usually the goal. Go in, track every song. Bare bones, you know, drums, guitar, bass. Come back in and then do vocal overdubs. And my goal is usually do all the vocal overdubs in one day. I think that because I had bronchitis around this time, we ended up going back and we re-recorded Real Good Man. Mainly because with that one, you know, you're hitting, I have the couple high notes in there, and it's really imperative that you have your full voice. And even though I really was going for it and it sounded pretty good, he's like, I can tell you're not 100% and you have to do this particular song when you're 100%. And that's what a good engineer would tell you, you
for
know?
Sure.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know, 5 or 6 days, I would guess.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, that's just cool, like, that we have that. You know, we have this ability here, with, you know, with that beautiful studio, and we can get a quality product like that, you know, pretty quick turnaround and everything else.
Right, and the connections that JB's making right now with Gaslight are pretty incredible. They just had Nappy Roots in there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're supposed to have Kiefer Sutherland's bands coming there or something. Do you know about that?
I haven't heard that one, but that'd be pretty wild.
Yeah, so I think they have some things cooking.
Yeah. And again, so this will be the 8th. We're at Ready Room. You can pick up your copy of False Success from Miss Molly Sims Band. And then you were telling me April 15th, you'll be at the Crack Fox.
Correct. And I did my first CD release party there.
Okay.
In December 12th, 2012, I released Revenants. Actually, Brandon filmed that whole thing from Dancing Shoes. It's on YouTube as well, which is kind of funny to go back and look at, like, a full concert you did years ago. But I haven't been back there and played, I don't, maybe once since then, with Bible Belt Sinners, my rockabilly band that I used to play with. But yeah, we're going back to play with Al Swacker. So he recently had us on his show, Greaser's Lunchbox. And that's on Thursdays. I believe it's like noon to two. And we went on and we did the live in studio. So my band played a couple tracks from the new album. We did a short interview and there'll be videos up from that soon. But Al's a good friend of mine. I've known him for a couple years, mostly through Bible Belt Sinners. And he contacted me and said, hey, you want to play with my Ramones tribute band on Joey Ramone's deathiversary? So of course we said, hell yeah.
Yeah. And you're just doing all your original
stuff? We're going to do original, yeah. They're going to play, you know, Ramon's tribute set, and then we'll just do our thing. And that's what we're best at. And I will say, it's always a struggle for me to learn covers. Like, when we go play our full set, it's 100% original, pretty much. We play, like, two covers. But we have some cover stuff coming up. We're going to be playing as Blondie for this gig in Festus. They have the street festival coming up, and it's going to be in June. Broly's going to do Black Sabbath again. But Miss Molly Sims Band, I think, is the only female on the bill, and we're going to do Blondie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that, are these songs pretty big for your childhood and stuff? Are you, you know, growing up listening to that stuff, or is that...
Honestly, when I was growing up, really for the most of my musical background was like blues orientated.
Right.
So it took me until my adult life to really, really dive into rock and roll. And I would say that for me, Blondie was something that, I mean, obviously you hear the songs growing up and you know all the hits and everything, but for me to really dive into rock and roll, I had to get past, like, I was so obsessed with early blues, pre-war country, you know, I had to get past all of that to work my way up there. So probably not until I was in my like early 20s that I started diving in heavy to rock and roll, you know?
Yeah, well, it's, that'd be fun to come out and see you do a full set of all Blondie tunes. And
yeah, we're going to try to find some of the tunes that she has that might have saxophone in them so that we can incorporate Z minor into the equation there.
Yeah. But I do feel like, you know, kind of you're getting introduced to rock and roll. I feel like there's a lot of it on this record. There's, you know, you were saying even Brian's guitar solo, kind of a Chuck Berry thing. And like, so you, there's, there's definitely... quite a bit of rock influence.
Right. I would say that when I turned about 20, 21, when I joined Bible Belt Sinners, that's when I really started getting more into rock and roll too, because you're starting with, again, early roots rock music, early Americana, you know, the rockabilly genre, the beginnings of rock and roll. And so then from there is where I took off and went into the other stuff, you know?
Yeah. And mentioning Chuck Berry there, we just passed... well, maybe a week ago now or something.
Right, right.
So that was a pretty big bummer, but
we got to open for my old band, Bible Belt Sinners, opened for him in 2010. And I feel like it's a rite of passage as a St. Louis musician that you get to open for Chuck. So I'm really glad that I got to do that.
It was kind of
a special thing for me.
Yeah, definitely. It was neat to see on Facebook the stories of people, you know, sharing their photos and stories of getting
right,
to show the stage.
Right. I love talking to Carrie Liston about it. She's opened for him several times, and she and I have some of the same stories, which is like one of them is, you know, there's three rules when you play. So you can't go in the green room. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's obvious. We get it. You can't play too loud, and there's $50 riding on whether you do. And then the third thing, which we think is hilarious, which is you can't say Chuck Berry's name on stage.
Yeah.
Which makes you, after every song, just want to go like, thank you, Chuck Berry. Thanks for having us. Yeah. We're here because Chuck Berry wanted us to play, you know. But you're not allowed to say his name. And they say it's because he's superstitious, or he was superstitious.
Yeah.
So, kind of interesting.
Yeah. You know, you hear those stories a lot. Like, maybe not as much as that, but like, people have their different things, you know, whatever, you know, in their... I've heard whatever rock and roll stories are like different things in their rider that they had to have before a show and all that kind of stuff. And,
right.
But yeah, I think everybody's got a little bit of superstition and, you know, trying to, you don't want to jinx something. And,
right. I was telling the story the other day, the Manus brothers, I think David ran into Chuck at like a hardware store and he was returning a lawnmower covered in grass.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty great. Like Chuck Berry's returning his own lawnmower.
No
matter how big of a star you are, you still got to return your own shit
to
the store.
Yeah. We actually share a property line with Chuck Berry out there in Wentzville when I was growing up, the house I was raised in and stuff. And so it was kind of crazy that, you know, to be that close to a rock and roll, you know,
right,
piece of
history. Did you run into him ever?
I would see him in passing and stuff. Like, you know, the intersection there by our house and stuff, we would, you know, you pass and you see him. He always had his sailor hat on, and that hat he always wore and stuff.
Yeah,
and
his skipper hat, yeah, that's what I call it.
Yeah, skipper hat, yeah. So, yeah, it was just kind of crazy that... and I never actually got to meet him or speak with him and stuff, but, you know, just knowing Chuck lived out in Wentzville was pretty crazy.
Well, you know what? Even if you did know him, he might not have talked very much. You even hear these stories like Keith Richards, when he played with him, who says that, you know, he thought they were going to be buddies and party together and it was going to be great. They'd go on tour, you know, when they went on the road together, but he hardly talked to him.
Right.
You know?
Sure. Yeah. There's a guy I worked with, and he was telling me, tell me about some of the kind of the heyday of when Chuck was throwing parties out there and stuff at the house. Mm-hmm.
He had some wild parties,
I'm
man.
Sure, but yeah, that's what he was telling me, some story about Keith Richards, like, you know, seeing him there at Chuck's house and all this stuff. And I was like, can't imagine, you know, being at that party and, you know, seeing Chuck and Keith Richards hanging out together and stuff. So that'd be a pretty wild night.
Right.
So, we got one more we wanted to play for you, which is the title track, right? False Success.
Yeah, False Success.
And you could...
I think with this one, for me, it was actually more about like working a regular job.
Yeah.
And what's funny, though, is when I went in the studio to record it, Zach said to me, "How many songs you got about the music business, Molly?" You know, and I think, yeah, take it however you want. But yeah, for me, it was like just that very strong desire to have this gift that you want to share with the world. And like all these songs that you spend all this time writing and recording and putting your heart and soul into and wanting the world to hear them. And then feeling like you're still working 40, 45 hours a week to mm-hmm. try to make all this music. And it's just so hard to balance these things and to be able to push your music out into the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that. It's something we can all relate to. I think we all, you know, there's always, for me, like I personally working a lot too, you know, but this is my creative, and it's like, you always want to keep,
now I know you work a door over at Oyster Bar.
Yeah. Yeah.
What keeps you busy? What else do you do?
Well, I work full time for the school district.
Oh, okay.
And
gotcha.
Then I worked there for...
Oh, I guess we haven't talked about what school we're at.
Yeah, for sure. You work here for working with the school, too. So
So for the folks who are listening to the podcast and can't see the video that Brandon's putting together, we're at the School of Rock in Kirkwood, and I manage two locations in St. Louis. The St. Louis, you know, branch or whatever only has two. So there's one in Baldwin, one in Kirkwood. And we teach kids and adults rock and roll music, ages 5 to 18, and then we also have an adult program. You said you did a podcast with John Pisoni from El Monstero.
Yeah, yeah, we've and the Urge and we did one with him, and
he runs our adult program in Baldwin. So there's a lot of awesome folks that get together and play rock and roll music, and you know, at any level, and then they get to go jam shows in St. Louis, and our kids do the same thing. You know, kids at ages 10 to 18 get to play at real rock and roll venues in St. Louis. And myself and a lot of musicians in St. Louis that work at School of Rock at both locations put all of our time into trying to make, you know, the next wave of St. Louis musicians.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's really cool, the part of the fact that they actually get to play these. You know, it's not just like you're having these kids come play, you know, here or wherever. You know, they're actually getting to share the same stage watching all the other rock stars play and stuff, and they're getting to play these big venues. And
they're getting taught and mentored by people who are real professional working musicians in the city of St. Louis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Most recently, I've got to brag about Scotty Eiman, who got written up in Rolling Stone for Jack Grelli's record.
Yeah.
As one of the up-and-coming country artists of 2017. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. I just recorded with Jack to talk about the new record shortly before that. And it was just nuts to see my friends, you know, getting written about in Rolling Stone and stuff. So
I have another friend named Brandon Clifton from Nashville that my band Bible Belt Sinners played with at this little dive bar. And he recently, his band The Colonel got written up in the same thing in Rolling Stone. The next, you know, they come out with it. I don't know if it's every month or whatever, but up and coming artists. And The Colonel got written up. So
yeah,
it's cool to know two people who recently had write ups in Rolling Stone.
Definitely.
Everything is that like 7 degrees of separation. You know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
And for a lot of us, it's closer to home than that. It's like everybody next to you is like having these beautiful things happen, and it can only flower and blossom off of that, you know?
Yeah. So what's that like for you as a teacher working with these kids? I mean, is that just like, do you see someone and you're like, this is, you know, I'm keeping an eye on this kid?
Oh, right. Yeah, there are definitely kids that I would follow their careers. I do want to make clear, I'm not a teacher. I wish that I was. I started as a vocal instructor at Baldwin School of Rock. And then after that, my friend Amy, who used to manage Baldwin, she suggested, hey, you should go ahead and apply for my position because I'm going to go back to Edwardsville for a while and work there. And I got the job, and then it, you know, ended up that I ended up managing two locations.
Okay.
And so I do mostly the administrative work, that kind of the background work that keeps the school running.
Right.
And then I hire a lot of our friends.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, we recently brought on, like I said, Allie Vogler, Maddie from the River Kittens. You recently did a podcast with Ina Cook from Al Holiday's band. And she also had her own thing, Chickawa, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
She's working at this school here, and just all kinds of folks that we know. All kinds of talented folks.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's fun to see so many friends all connected and doing this stuff. So, yeah, it's really cool. You got Danny Blaze also doing some drum lesson stuff.
And Jake Manis and
all
kinds of people.
Yep. They're all friends of the show. It's really, really cool to be a part of this whole thing with all of them and watching their success and stuff. So
definitely. One thing I haven't mentioned too is that Zach Miner did all the horn part arrangements for the record. So he spent hours and hours and hours putting together all the parts for the guys from the East Side Rhythm Band so that they could come in and cut that stuff quickly. And they did. They were only there for a couple hours. So
right on. Yeah. I did a podcast with him also.
I listened to that. It was a good one.
It was a good time getting to hang with those guys. And actually just kind of...
Ryan's got his own project too. Yeah. Ryan Torpia, the trumpet player.
For sure.
Yeah.
But
he might be playing some keys with us at some point coming up.
All right. Very cool.
Yeah. Actually, he played some organ on the record as well.
Okay. Yeah, he's another... Like, I didn't, you know... I've only known him as a trumpet player and stuff, and that was all I'd seen him play so far with that with Al. And then I saw him with his other band where he's playing.
He's a pretty damn good singer.
Yeah, he's singing and playing keys and all kind, you know. So
right. One thing I'd like to mention as well is my bass player Jamie Almond is returning for this album as well. So I've been working with him the longest. He's my longest member of the band. He's been with me through everything, all the way back to 2012. So I'm really happy to still be working with him. He's a beast on the bass. He's incredible.
Yeah.
And he writes all of his own parts, arranges his parts for the record. And like specifically the song Lose You to Myself, his bass line is just so killing. I just love what he's doing there.
Yeah. So you write the lyrics, and then you present it to these guys and kind of try to arrange it, or you have an idea where you're going to go with it?
Yeah. I don't just write the lyrics. I actually write the lyrics, the vocal melody, the guitar part, all the chord changes, the structure of the song. And then we don't usually have to do much arranging or adjusting. It's usually mostly just like, you know, Zach throws a few beats out there, or Joe, who we're working with as our full-time drummer, Joe Rogers, throws a few beats out there, and then we go from there. Jamie's just so proficient that there's no way I'm going to say, like, I'm thinking I want something like this.
Yeah.
I've never been that kind of person anyway, especially not with a true pro. When you're working with a true pro like that, they're going to play what they hear.
For sure.
And he's always spot on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, like I said, we'll drop in some of these tracks. Everybody will get a chance to hear a little preview of the record before they can buy it on April 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing soon after that, it'll hit your digital platforms and all that stuff.
Yeah, then it'll be on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, all the places.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully locally, I think they're going to do something at Music Record Shop. We'll do Euclid, Vintage, all that stuff as well. So
yeah, and the other records... The EP and One Way Ticket are also...
They're all available on the online platforms, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, etc. Also, they're available at Euclid Records, but that's actually the only brick-and-mortar store that carries it right now, I think.
Okay.
There might be a possibility to find it at Music Record Shop if they have some left.
Okay.
Yeah.
And follow along on Facebook. We got Miss Molly Sims Band.
Yeah, and page. Visit our website, because, man, you make a beautiful website, and then you're like, does anyone ever look at this?
Right.
I put my shows up there, man, so, you know, actually that's probably a more reliable way to find out where are they, where are they playing.
Yeah. Full calendar there.
And it's a condensed way to see what are all the videos that you have out, what are all the albums you have out, and stuff like that. Tim Smith from thetimsmith.com is an amazing graphic designer, a very good friend of mine. He's working on our new logo, so he's going to come out with something. He does vector design. He's going to come out with a new sticker and a new logo design for us as well. So
right on. Yeah.
And the album cover was, the photography was done by Brandon Sloan.
Very cool.
And I was really happy with the work that he did. And I know that he doesn't necessarily fancy himself to be a photographer necessarily, but he is truly incredible and probably the only person I would trust in capturing me, because the point of photographing someone, make me look more beautiful than I am in real life. And that's exactly what he does. Yeah. He captures something great.
Yeah. No, it looks great. I like all the guitars around you there.
All arch tops. Yeah. I have a thing for semi-hollow bodies.
Yeah, for sure. Again, April 8th, the Ready Room, be there. It's going to be a wild night of great music, all local.
Right. So the other thing about Gaslight is, you know, the Gaslight Collective release party. So they're operating basically as a label.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that, you know, I think a couple of us have announced sort of, but really this party is the celebration of the announcement. So come out and celebrate with us this great thing that's happening. And if you have a band that wants to get involved, contact JB, contact Gaslight, and see if you can become the second or third wave of musicians to come through there and do your thing.
Yeah, definitely. GaslightSTL.com, the website. Get involved and come check it out. Yeah, they're doing big things, and I'm proud to be a part of this whole thing with all of them, the community, and got a lot of really cool stuff going on here in town. So, yeah, get involved and check out new music from Miss Molly Sims, man. Thank you, Molly.
Yeah, thank you, Shane.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Rock paper podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.